questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
I never get tired of that sound effect.
But it's not a sound effect, it's you doing it.
Well, that was just me doing it. Anyway.
Yeah?
You know what I can't stand?
What?
When people say, season's greetings. Oh, if they're gonna say season's greetings, then they should say that 4 times a year.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Happy summer. Happy spring.
Or the first day of spring. Season's greetings. What does that mean? Well, it's the first day of spring. It's a season.
And I'm here to greet you.
And you had a good point the other night.
Did I?
We're in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
What did I say?
You said, look, season's greetings. Look at that sign, season's greetings. They're obviously celebrating something, something special about this season.
Right.
Well, what are you celebrating? So, the other day...
What are you celebrating is my question.
Celebrating Christmas, the
That's
birth of
right.
Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
So don't try and wiggle out of it.
I'm not trying to wiggle out of anything.
I'm not saying you.
Oh.
I'm saying those others.
Who hold those signs up.
Who say, don't assume we all celebrate Christmas. Well, then what are you celebrating? The season?
Please.
You're celebrating Christmas! And that's that.
We'll give you Hanukkah.
Well, Hanukkah's a celebration,
that's,
too.
That's legitimate.
Part of the...
It's legitimate.
The happy holiday.
The happy holy days.
Right.
Days that have been set apart.
Right.
See, even people who say happy holidays, who are atheists or whatever, they don't even know what they're saying there.
Right.
A holy day is a day that's been set apart. It's been sanctified.
Right, but people don't, it's been watered down.
Well, we were in the store the other day and the cashier said to us, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
I was so happy to hear that.
Well, Merry Christmas is making a comeback.
Yes, it is making a comeback.
That's right.
People
are actually sick of being politically correct.
Ugh.
Because it just makes things worse.
Well, I was never into being politically correct in the first place.
No, we were never into that.
No. Well, you know what time it is?
Yes.
It's question time.
Okay, open the email bag.
Okay, hang on here a minute.
We have a bag of emails.
Get this zipper stuck. Oh, there you go.
Zipper. It has a drawstring.
Oh, sorry. I just unzipped this one. Well, this one has mail in it anyway, so let's just go with this bag.
Okay. I hope it's ours.
Let's see. This is from Sally T. Great podcast for those who don't need answers but want to ask questions. Here's my question. Is anyone there ever tempted to curse in the heat of a moment? Yes, I just cursed yesterday.
I think I did too.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? Tim says
we're going to throw Tim under the bus.
But he has said, and he won't deny it, that sometimes the situation calls for a well-placed F-bomb.
Right. We're not condoning now to go out and start cursing up a storm.
Right.
Sometimes, yeah, we're all tempted. Absolutely. Sometimes in the heat of a moment.
Yes.
You know, I'll drop an F-bomb. And it doesn't make me a sinner. It doesn't make
me any...
But
I think using certain words as adjectives...
Yeah, that's...
Or adverbs.
Exactly.
Like, that's just... Actually, that says to me you're kind of... Not you personally, listener. But people who do that, it almost indicates to me that you could possibly be ignorant. And I don't want to make that assumption based on the words coming out of your mouth. So
right.
Really, you should be careful what you say because people are going to... judge you and say, oh, this guy is clearly uneducated because
right.
Look how he talks. And it's just not a good way to present yourself.
And we don't talk that way. I mean, how often have you heard us curse on the podcast? Never.
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 But once in a while, we miss it.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Okay. You want to say that.
This next one is from Triple BBB. Well, Triple B. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Triple BBB. Okay. I don't always agree, but I have been challenged more listening than with any other podcast. At times I feel as if I'm receiving a non-seminary education. However, I'll keep listening to Who's Your Daddy. At times you feel like you're receiving a non-seminary education? It should be at all times, because when have we ever given a seminary type of education
on this
show?
First of all, I don't even know what that would be. It would be probably religious, with some religious doctrine. We're like the opposite of religion. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you won't be getting any religious education here.
But thank you for keep listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for keeping.
I hope there's something in it that you are finding helpful.
Mm-hmm. Next question is from Me Needs Help.
Okay.
WYD, who's your daddy, has helped me in my relationship with God as him in the father position. My question is, since God doesn't cause pain or sickness, how does he discipline his children? I don't understand that. That's a good one. That's a good question. Well, he disciplines us with his word. He teaches us with his word. He trains us with his word. The word, it says in the Bible, is good for training, tutelage, growing up children as they ought to be grown up in, guidance, discipline. He disciplines us with his word.
Well, here's the thing. The word discipline means train.
Like disciple?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's where the word comes from. A trainee. But I think when you hear the word discipline, you think spanking
or beating,
you're going to be punished.
Right.
So I think that you have to look at that word discipline and its true meaning, which is training. Mm. So how would you train a child?
Your
children or even an older child. You don't train them by punishing them.
Beating them.
All right. God doesn't mete out punishment to his children.
Right.
Jesus took our punishment for us so that we will not be punished. But he will discipline us. He will train us.
Right.
Through his word.
Okay.
Right. And he'd rather train you through his word than you doing something stupid and then having to backpedal and God have to provide the way out.
And clearly, Me Needs Help, the writer of this email, is likening discipline to pain and sickness because they're asking, since God doesn't cause pain and sickness, how does he discipline?
Right.
So it's equating this usage of the word in a negative way.
Well, from my background,
yeah.
I can totally understand that because growing up in a Catholic, education, religious atmosphere,
I feel the same
you
way.
Were, in your mind, discipline and God and punishment were all, the same thing. You did something wrong, you got punished, and you deserved it. However, that is not true. That doctrine is absolutely incorrect. Because then what was the point of Jesus going to the cross and taking our punishment on him? If God's just going to punish us anyway. He doesn't punish us. He trains us.
Right.
So every time you see that word discipline in the word, change it to training.
Right.
And it might help you now see that
like
in
that.
A different
Amen.
Light.
Amen. Amen.
So God is training you. Like if you were training a bodybuilder, you'd make them do certain things to achieve the goal that they want to achieve.
Right. Absolutely.
And maybe some of that discipline or training is a little painful.
Mm.
But you want to get somewhere.
Right.
And it's not bad.
Right.
It's actually to help you.
Right.
But it's not, like I'm going to break your arm so that you'll be stronger. No,
I'm gonna
show you to break through this situation or to change your behavior because it's causing you pain. I want to train you in a different way so that you can have success.
Mm-hmm.
Train you, not beat you.
Right.
Right. Or cause you sickness or poverty or any other curse.
And in that type of training, like bodybuilding, when muscles grow, it hurts.
Right.
But not in the form where someone's whipping you.
Any growth hurts.
Yeah, right. Any growth hurts.
Because you're moving out of where you're comfortable.
Ah, ha, ha. All right. Stumper 2219 says, big question. I hope it stumps them.
Okay.
Where do we go when we die? Really?
Yeah.
Well, who? Me and Christina?
Well,
we're going to heaven.
Well, if you're saying we, including me, Frank, You, I'm assuming, we're going to heaven.
Well, I don't know about Stumper 22.
Well, she said he said we.
Stumper said, where do we go when we die? I think Stumper means like we in general.
As people.
I can't speak for everybody.
Right.
I can't even speak for Stumper 2219. I don't know where Stumper 2219 stands. But first of all, Christina and I aren't going to die, number one. Number two, when we leave this planet, we're going to heaven.
Well, let me explain that.
Go ahead.
Frank and I always say, we're not going to die, we're just going to live until Jesus comes back.
Right.
And we get taken up into heaven. Just like Elijah.
And Enoch.
Yeah, so we're assured that we're going to heaven. Now, as for anyone else, I really can't speak for them unless they have proclaimed Jesus as the Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And there's every opportunity for that until the spirit leaves the body.
Hmm.
So there's never a time where you can't proclaim that.
Amen.
There might be people in heaven that you'll be surprised to see.
And there might be people that aren't there that you'll be surprised about, too.
That aren't there, right.
All right. Dimcrim 480. Clearly a lot of people like this podcast, but, well, I really don't. Lots of rambling, lots of, whoa, we had some crazy times, man, talking theology and stuff. This Jesus guy is cool. I wonder if we ever say that. All right. I tried to listen to one of their episodes and realized that 20 minutes in, they still hadn't actually started the conversation with a guest. This lacks focus and maturity. I'm not a fan.
Whoa.
And you know what's hilarious about this?
What?
We just said not a fan last night.
What is that?
Keith and Teresa were over. We were having a little gumbo.
Christmas gumbo.
Christmas gumbo. And Keith was talking about the movie Not a Fan.
Yes, well, she is not a fan.
And I said, there's something about it that I want to see. I want to see it just right. To be annoyed.
All right, so...
Dim Crim 480.
You know what's awesome about that? You don't have to listen.
Don't listen.
Turn it off and listen to somebody else who's, you know.
Yeah, who you like, who doesn't lack focus and maturity.
Right.
Okay, Denny. Is there really a place called purgatory? No.
No.
Matter of fact, you won't even find that word in the Bible. And quite frankly, I feel like the whole concept of purgatory, because that's big in the Catholic faith, which we were raised Catholic, I kind of feel like that undermines Jesus' work on the cross.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, oh, it wasn't finished.
Now you got to go in the waiting room?
Yeah, you got to wait, and like people on earth have to pray for you. Well, that's how I was taught. Like, Grandma might be in purgatory, so we want to pray for Grandma.
Pray her out.
To get her to heaven. So the more prayers she gets, the faster she gets to heaven. Now, what if someone dies with nobody?
Now they're stuck in
purgatory forever? And so Jesus' work on the cross wasn't enough. That is a downright filthy lie because it negates the power of the cross.
Right.
Anything that negates the power of the cross is a lie. And that should be your standard.
Mm. Anything else you have to do? No.
Yeah.
Wrong.
If you have to do something, like, to achieve salvation, then it is a lie.
Okay. Who was that? Denny. Okay. Sarah E. I feel very overwhelmed of the idea of reading the Bible. I mean, I want to, but every time I try, I just can't get through it. Where do I even begin studying the Bible? Help. Well, a great way to begin is in the book of Proverbs. And here's why. This is what Joe Roque told me back in the day. 10 years ago.
More than 10 years ago.
What? 10 years ago? 1996.
Okay.
That was 10 years ago, right?
That was 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. My goodness.
You're rambling!
Oh, sorry. He told me, he said, here's how you start reading the Bible. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. There are average 30 days in a month. So what you do is, first, like today's the 17th. So you read Proverbs 17. Tomorrow you read Proverbs 18, and so on. And that kind of helps you get disciplined. Anything you do for 3 weeks, for 21 days, will automatically become a habit. So by the end of the month, you've already read the book of Proverbs. At the end of the year, you read Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, 12 times. Just the book of Proverbs. He also said to me, well, how do you read a book? You open it up and you just start reading from the beginning. The very first word of the Bible is in the beginning. The very first words written is in the beginning. Perfect place to put that because it's in the beginning of the book. You can read it through that way. I mean, or do the Proverbs thing. But Sarah E. is saying that every time I try, I just can't get through it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. Well, first of all, isn't there a video about how to read the Bible?
Yes, you did it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, under resources and that next step, the videos.
Okay, so you could check that out. That might be a place that you could go and get some information. But I felt exactly the same way. I couldn't get through it. I didn't understand it. maybe it's the version that you're using. Mm. Because if you're using the old King James version, which is written in old English, it's like, who talks like this today?
Right.
So start with a message Bible or start with a kid's Bible or start with, we got a friend of ours for her Holy Communion. They're Catholic. We got her a Lego Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically like a comic book. You know, you don't have to access the Bible in any certain way. I mean, you have to find the way that works for you.
Right.
So I would suggest first find a Bible that you feel like you can understand the language in. So the message, or like I said before. Also, if you go onto Andrew Womack's website, he actually does Bible commentary. There are certain passages in the New Testament that he will actually give a Bible teaching. So if you start reading, let's say, the book of John, you can actually follow with his commentary. So he's kind of giving you his revelation of what that word means. So it makes it a little more, oh, okay. Oh, is that what that means?
Mm.
And most importantly, above everything else, when you sit down to read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and your ears and your heart to revelatory understanding of what you're reading.
Right.
And I think you'll find that the words will jump off the page.
Amen. I agree.
So I hope those little tips help you. And don't quit. Don't give up. You will find the fruit in it. And it's like an onion. So you'll read a passage, and once you really start to get into it, you've read the whole Bible, and you'll start reading it again. And the second time, you'll go, oh my God, I never saw that. And then you'll read another passage that you read 100 times, and you'll see something that, oh my God, I never saw that. So it'll keep revealing secrets to you. And they're not secrets. They're there for you to find.
Right. I remember my first Bible was a third grade Bible
for
a third grader.
That's fine.
The print was really big. There were pictures. A light blue cover.
10 years ago, right?
20 years ago. But yeah, sure. Dumb waiter wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question. 5 exclamation points in caps.
Whoa.
Is it a sin to get a tattoo? No, it's not. That's an old Mosaic law thing that basically was like, you know, they were all like into like idolatry at points.
Mm-hmm.
And tattoos were seen as like an idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what. No, getting a tattoo is not a sin. It doesn't. I have a tattoo. I actually just got a tattoo over the summer in August, a couple few months ago.
Right.
So no, it's not a sin, not a sin, not a sin.
I also, if you're going to go get a tattoo, I would be careful what image you're going to put on your body.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I mean, there are some, I was looking through the books as Frank was getting his tattoo, and I'm like, who would put this on their body? Permanently.
Meaning the books you were looking
at.
The designs.
Yeah, the design books.
Right, not the one I got.
No. The design books. And like, some of them are like, yikes! I wouldn't want that on my body for like 2 seconds, let alone the rest of my life.
Right.
So just be careful what you're putting on there, because that's going to be there pretty much forever. And, you know, it's a commitment. So.
Totally a commitment.
Put something there that you know you're going to. And that's going to look good when you're 80.
Right. Not when you're looking at 80 going, what the heck was I thinking?
And what is this again? It looks like a raisin.
I don't know what this even is. Okay, this is nice. I like this. You ready for this?
I'm ready for this. Are you ready for this?
I wrote in 2 months ago as an unsaved truth seeker. I challenged them to answer 5 questions. And if
hello.
They did, I would get saved.
Hi.
Well, this is from Lawrence. Well, they answered my questions on the air, and I repeated the salvation prayer with them, and now a child of God.
Oh, yes! Lawrence, we love you. We loved you before, but we love you now even more.
I'm only a third of the way through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Frank and Christina.
I get excited. I love that.
I know.
It's the best. I'm sorry. Continue.
Frank and Christina Sasso of Who's Your Daddy Godcast. Well, the only ones who were willing and able to answer my questions, and the answers made so much sense. My family and friends knew I was writing in, and I told them I would let them listen if my questions were read. I let my family listen and a few friends, and as a result, my brother and best friend also got saved.
Ah! Yay! Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas, everyone! That's the best present I ever got!
Oh, I'm not done.
Oh.
I love it.
Woo, Merry Christmas.
New question.
Oh, okay.
Is there a church like this ministry somewhere near Greenback, Tennessee that they can tell me about? Thank you.
Greenback, Tennessee.
I'm going to get back to you on that, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
Greenback, Tennessee.
We're still working on a church here in Trenton. Ay, ay, ay. Why is it so hard? But
Lawrence, yeah, congrats,
we'll be,
buddy.
We'll be praying that you find one.
That was funny.
And we'll try and use our resources to help that.
Should I play last month's question, his question, right now, so people can hear what he asked?
Yeah, why not? Just say, right, if you're interested.
All right, so just so you know, guys listening, I'm going to play right now. Let me cue this up here. Okay, there it goes. All right, so I'm going to play the last month's question from Lawrence. That was funny, though.
Five
the way
questions,
he
right.
Yeah, it was five questions.
Right.
I'll play that clip.
Okay.
From last month's podcast. Check this out. Right?
This is from Lawrence.
Hi.
Greenback, Tennessee.
Ooh.
I have five questions that I would like to know if the Q&A people, I guess that's us, can answer for me.
Okay.
If they answer these questions, I'll accept Jesus.
Whoa, no pressure.
Be very careful. My salvation is riding on this. Oh, really? Wow.
If your salvation is riding on what
then
we say...
Bring it on. Here
yeah,
we go.
All right.
He has five questions.
All right.
We have to... Now, he didn't say we have to get them right. He just said
right,
you have to answer them.
Answer
oh, so
them.
This is, that's good.
Oh, okay. Pressure's
off.
Okay. Pressure's off.
Okay. Number one.
Yes.
If God is all-knowing, why did he not know until the very moment in which Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac that Abraham feared God? Okay. I can take this one.
Go ahead.
First of all, it's not that he didn't know. He wanted Abraham to see.
Right. It wasn't about him.
Right.
God knowing.
Exactly.
It was about Abraham knowing.
It was about Abraham knowing. So God stopped him. And here's why. You know, my dad asked me this question. He said, this is a while ago. My dad said, why would God put Abraham through that? A loving God. Kill your only son? That's not, what is that? God was setting himself up.
Setting God himself
God
up.
Was setting himself up.
Right.
Himself, not Abraham. He was setting himself up to be put in the situation where that if a man was willing to give up his only son for God, God would have to give up his only son for man.
Right.
So he saw that a man was willing to do it, and he was righteous. God considered Abraham righteous. So he said, hold it, stop, don't kill him. I'll offer up my son.
So you're not contradicting yourself now and saying that God had to see Abraham do it?
No. God had to have Abraham see what Abraham was willing to do for God so that he could understand what God was now willing to do for him.
Oh, okay. But God knew what he
was doing. Oh, yeah, he had a whole plan.
God knew Abraham was going to be obedient, and God also knew he was going to stop him.
Totally. Number two. Check that off your list there, Lawrence. Number two. If God is all-knowing... why did God ask Adam where he was and whether he had eaten fruit in Genesis? Again,
you can take that one.
God wanted Adam to come to the realization of where he was. It's not like he was hiding behind a tree and God couldn't find him. I mean, really. Adam knew he messed up. And God was like, Adam, where are you, man? Like, you know, where are you at? Meaning, in your walk with me. What are you doing? And it was like, did you eat the fruit I told you not to eat? It's like when you ask your kids.
Right.
You know what they did. You want them to confess it and to come clean so that you can move on with them and win.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Number three. Why did God create mankind at all if in Genesis, God said he was sorry he created him? Okay. Again. Lawrence. These are good. By the way, these are great questions. I love that... your salvation is riding on this.
Well, amen. You got to hold up your end of the...
You got to hold. You got to... That's it, man. You know, it's not like God was like, oh, this is going to be great. And he was caught by surprise that man screwed up and God was now repentant that he even made them.
I guess it's kind of like if you were a parent and you're like, oh, these kids. Why do I even have kids? But really...
you love them, yeah.
Yeah, the parent's not, like, really regretting that they had kids. They're just, in that moment of grief and hurt, they verbalize something that they maybe
Right.
In most cases, is a truth.
I'm also going to throw a little wrench into your thinking here, Lawrence, just for a moment. And I heard this. What?
I said throw in a spanner.
A spanner? What is that? Is that a British term? I'm going to throw in a spanner. I have no idea what that means, but okay. I heard Andrew Womack say this, and this was profound. This really like sent my head kind of like reeling for a while. It says in the Bible that God chooses to remember things no more.
Right?
Like, well, sin. Could he possibly do that? Like, he watches his kids, and he chooses not to remember what he knows they're going to do just to kind of see, because he's all-powerful, right? So if he's all-powerful, he could actually choose to remember things no more. Maybe he chose to remember no more what he already knew they were going to do just to see what they were going to do, if they were going to believe in him, if they were going to trust him. And then when they didn't, he was repenting that he even made man. You know, I don't know, just throwing a little spanner your way. But for the most part, he loves his kids. He loves mankind. That's why he sent Jesus to die for mankind. Okay. Number four, if God is so good, why does he put all of us to death? Well, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He doesn't put any of us to death. I don't know what that means.
He actually saved us from death.
Right. Through Jesus, we have eternal life. He doesn't put us to death. And he doesn't put sinners to death either.
Right.
Sinners put themselves to death.
Right.
Because he made a way for sinners to escape sin and death.
Right. It's up to the sinner. Free will. God's not going to force you. It's your choice. Free choice.
Absolutely.
To either accept the free gift or say, I'd rather not.
It even says in the Bible, oh, death, where is your sting?
Right.
We won't even feel or taste death.
Right.
At all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And lastly, number five, if God is all just, you know, I'm just noticing a pattern here, Lawrence. You're saying if God is all knowing, if God is so good, if God is all just, well, it sounds like you're already kind of saying, okay, it's almost like you're recognizing that he is all knowing and all good and all just. And you're just saying, well, if he is that, then why is this? So I think your heart is pretty much already there. But it's okay. It's cool. I'll answer this last question here, number five. If God is all just, how could he possibly punish mankind for what Adam did? He didn't punish mankind. Where are you getting that?
Not at all.
And I'm not beating up on Lawrence.
I know, but I actually appreciate the questions because I'm sure there are some Christians out there who think this is true. Because growing up Catholic, God punishing you was a big thing. Selling point.
Hold on, a selling point.
but you know, like, God's going to punish you if you don't.
No, God doesn't punish people.
God didn't punish people for what Adam did. God sent Jesus to save us from punishment for what Adam did.
Exactly.
He didn't punish us. He removed the punishment.
Right. That's why Jesus is called the last Adam.
Right.
Not the second Adam.
The last.
The last Adam. He was going to get it done.
Because he said, it is finished.
That's it, man.
Right.
So now that we've answered your questions, say this with me. Father in heaven, I accept the redemptive work that Jesus did on that cross for me. I reject Satan and all of his ways, and I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the family of God, Lawrence. Because I know you're a man of your word, and I know you said that prayer, and I would like to hear from you,
yes,
my man.
Let us know how you're doing.
Brother, and if you have any more questions, let me know.
Also, if you want immediate answers, a place that, like, we've promoted this before, Andrew Womack's website, he does Bible commentary, and he is a great Bible explainer.
And if you need something super quick, just go to ahistorywithgod.org, click on resources, then you'll see a 5-part Andrew Womack teaching called The True Nature of God. It'll really, really give you like good wake-up food there on God's character.
And also you can go to our older podcasts.
Absolutely. There's a whole library there.
Lots of topics.
Okay.
I love that. I love my salvation is riding on it.
Well, amen.
Well, you wrote it home, brother. Welcome to the kingdom of God.
For your courage in writing in. Thank you.
Yes. All right, one last one.
We will be praying for you and your family.
Yes, amen. And
as we do all our,
we'll get back to you about Greenback, Tennessee. We'll email you. We'll look into what we got. We'll see what we can do, and okay. We'll let you know on email.
Yes,
we'll actually go through the Kenneth Copeland. Director. I'll ask Riley.
Riley.
All right, we'll get back to you, Lawrence. Welcome to the kingdom, bro.
Yeehaw!
All right, finally, last one from Truck Lover Tom. Truck Lover. Okay.
He likes trucks.
Apparently loves them.
Cool.
Okay. A friend of mine was praying in church last week and addressed Jesus as Father. Is it correct to say Jesus is not the Father? Curious. It is correct to say Jesus is not the Father because he's not the Father.
But I've heard that.
He's the Son. He's not the Father.
I know, but I've heard that, and I can't remember. It wasn't what you're thinking about Peru. But I've heard people address Jesus as Father, and I can't remember. Anyway, I'm sorry. I can't.
Look, that's fine, and then I'm sure they're saved, but that's not accurate.
Yes.
Jesus is clearly not the Father. He's the Son of the Father.
Right.
And then there's the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is made up of three people. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Son. He's not also the Father. That's like saying, I'm my dad's son, and I'm also the Father as well.
That sounds like a riddle.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like a riddle. I'm my own grandfather.
But
so you are correct, you know, Truck Lover Tom. Jesus is not the Father.
But here's the cool thing. If you're praying and you say that, and you know what? There's so much grace. Grace abounds.
Yeah.
You know, the prayer is still being heard. The prayer is still answered.
Amen.
And yay and amen. So
Jesus doesn't care.
He loves climbing trees.
He does love climbing trees, apparently. And here's just a tip for everyone out there. This is something the Lord told me, which is just...
Are you going to talk
very,
about...
Very, the... very funny. What? Yeah, from now on, whenever you use the toilet and you flush, put the cover down when you flush. That's what he told me to do. I don't have to keep
I have been thinking about that since you told me that.
Have you really?
Well, every time I use the bathroom, I'm like...
Do you keep the cover down?
What does that mean?
It means keep the cover down.
I know it means keep the cover down, but like, why? Why is this something you felt that, like, Jesus, out of all the things that we have questions about, this is what you're telling
That's
us?
What he says to me. Put the lid down when you flush. Okay.
Okay.
You want more information? Because that's what it is. You're a detective. You like to seek things out. He tells me to do something. I pretty much, all right, do it.
Well, I do it, but I want to know why. I know why. I think I figured out why. But I guess
why?
My question... Why? Because I guess germs can fly up.
Well, but concerned about germs?
I know. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. So I just do it.
And again, the other thing is, like, with questions that I've had that are, to me, more vital than, you know, how to flush the toilet, like... Why aren't you answering that question? I didn't even have a question about the toilet. Oh, Jesus.
Because he's got all the stuff we pray, because he's already got it covered.
I know.
Putting the lid down when we flush isn't something we would ever think about doing. So I guess he's saying, hey, listen, next time you flush, put the lid down. And every time after that. Mm. So we're letting everyone else out there know. Hey, you know what? Maybe God will tell you something about that, and you can let us know why.
Yeah, let us know. But we also know that Jesus likes to climb trees because...
Oh, that was very funny.
I have a little baby Jesus in a little crib of hay. It's like, I don't know what it's made of. But I've had it since I'm a little kid, so...
That one?
That little one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, every Christmas, Jesus doesn't get put into the manger until Christmas Eve. So, I take baby Jesus, and I have these little nests... All throughout the Christmas tree.
Right.
So I hide baby Jesus in a nest. Mm. So it's so cozy.
With an egg. There's an egg.
With a couple of eggs. And he's just hanging out in the branches in the tree until Christmas Eve.
Right.
So you can tell the rest of the story.
I was just spending time with the Lord the other morning. I forgot. I was looking at the tree while I was praying and I remember Jesus is in the tree. I remember sometimes my mind will just kind of wander. And, you know, I spotted Jesus in the tree in the nest. And Jesus at that moment said to me, I really enjoy climbing trees. Like, just like very matter of fact.
So I take that to mean that he likes baby Jesus hanging out in the nest in the tree.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't he?
I would like to be in that little nest in a tree. It's
you would.
So cozy.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that wraps it up for this month.
Christmas. The best Christmas you've ever had. Tell us your testimonies.
Give us your testimony. Never stop. We have one more show this year until the new year.
2017 was the best year you ever had. Are you and Keith going to do that?
We're going to do a year in review, of course.
A year in review. 2017.
A year in review.
Right. Tell us about 2016. We started this year saying that 2016 was the best year you ever had.
Right.
So please tell us your testimonies.
Yeah, please.
How 2016 was the best year you ever had.
Right.
Was there a healing? Was there a salvation? Was there a financial breakthrough or whatever? We don't care how big or small. Let us know.
There's nothing small.
It's all in your mind, like, that's not big enough.
Yeah, well, the Lord told me to put the seat down when I flush. That's not anything.
That could be a huge thing. Right. But, also, if you can, when you send your emails, this is just my own personal request, can you tell us where you're from?
I like to just imagine
all the people in the different parts of the country and different parts of the world. I just like to picture it.
Right.
And this way, hey, if we're ever traveling,
we could stay at your place. save us some money on a hotel or an Airbnb.
Anybody out there in Hawaii?
Yeah, we'll stay at your house. You feed us. You take us places.
Paris.
Go to the movies or something.
We're kidding. But I just like to know where people are. I like to. London.
Any Parisian listeners?
London. Cotswolds. Anyway.
We got a huge Cotswolds listening base.
So just let us know all that information. And we'll do one more podcast before the end of the year.
Right.
But this is our Christmas podcast, so Merry Christmas.
That's right. Merry, Merry Christmas. And until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
Always.
Stay blessed.
Merry Christmas!
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.